Welcome, Darian, to Platform Radio Radio. We're very excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
For your media that you said we needed to be aware of, you chose Guilty Gear Strive.
Yeah, well, Guilty Gear as a whole, but yes.
As a whole.
Guilty Gear Strive. Mostly.
The one that you play the most.
That's mostly the only one I've played, yes.
Can you tell?
There's 25 of them.
What, Guilty Gears?
Mm-hmm.
There's 25.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
I guess maybe there's a bunch of different versions and stuff. I don't know. It's 25. I don't know. 25.
That's wild.
Because I guess the mainline ones that I know of is like the first game, and then it's like XX, and then it's Plus, and then it's like Plus R, and then Exert, and then there's like a bunch of different versions of Exert, and then there's Strive.
And is Strive the biggest one?
Yeah, it's by far the most popular one. All the other ones were very niche, mostly in Japan.
Mostly in Japan.
Yeah, mostly. It was mostly only like their scenes existed out here, but they didn't compare to Japan because the arcade scene was much, much more popular in Japan. But Strive never released on arcade because now arcades mostly don't exist.
Can you actually talk? What genre? What is the genre of like fighting game called?
Of Guilty Gear.
Yeah,
I guess you can call it anime fighter. Because, I mean, pretty much almost most fighting games are Japanese. The Japanese created the fighting game genre with Street Fighter 2. Well, I guess with Street Fighter, but, like, the current modern idea of fighting game was started by Street Fighter 2.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's called, like, anime fighters. Anime fighters are obviously anime characters, but it's mostly characterized by, like, just like the way that the game flows, so it's usually much faster. There's like air dashes in it, so there's a bit more movement than mm-hmm. like in Street Fighter, where it's like some characters will have like a special air dash or whatever, but mostly it's just like, oh, you jump and like you can only jump, while like in anime fighters they'll have double jumps. Characters with like every character will be able to air dash, and if they can't air dash, that's more of a unique thing, versus in Street Fighter, if they can air dash, that's a unique thing. So it's more focused on movement and more complicated mix-ups, which mix-ups is his own vocabulary word, which is kind of like in fighting games, you have to either block high or low or left or right, and mixing up essentially making your opponent not know which one you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So every fighting game has that, but Street Fighter is more so focused on like, am I going to punch you or throw you? While every game has that, but Guilty Gear will more so become more complex, where it becomes, am I going to punch you, throw you, jump over you and hit you in the back, like teleport behind you, hit you in the back, hit you low, stuff like that.
Do the other like anime fighting games have the same kind of like convoluted lore that it seems like Guilty Gear has? Is that like a trademark of them?
I mean, it's a trademark in a lot of just like Japanese games. I mean, okay. Kingdom Hearts has it too.
Mm-hmm.
Tekken has it. Fighting games, I mean, especially because nobody really pays attention to the plot that much. Like, I mean, for years it was only consumed in arcades and stuff, so it was really just like people just coming up with shit. Like, I mean, Guilty Gear's lore is a whole mess. I feel like something I really appreciate about Guilty Gear's lore is that it very much felt like Daisuke was kind of just Daisuke Ishibatari is the creator. And fun fact, he designed the game, designed all the characters in the original game, designed all the characters, did all the music, voiced Soul Bad Guy, the main character, and did all the drawings for the character in the first game. So, very talented guy. But, yeah, the lore kind of just feels like he was really just kind of doing whatever he wants, which I really appreciate. I really appreciate things where it feels like the person made it really exercised free will to the max when making their things. Like, there's character like Chip Zanuff, who's like the ninja character in the game, which like every game has like a ninja character. Like his story is like lore is that he's like an American dude who's like really addicted to drugs. Like had like an overdose, and then this I don't know, martial arts master finds him, saves him, starts training him, and like another part of like Chip is that he's like also like a weeb. He's like, or as they say on the wiki, he's like passionate for like Japanese culture, and so his character will always just say like random Japanese things when he's doing things, but it has like no actual relevance. He'll just say things, but he has like super low health in the game, which is like a very common ninja thing. But like to add on to the lore is like he has super low health because he did drugs for so many years and destroyed his body. But eventually after his like master dies or whatever, he's like, I want to save the world or some shit, and like he thinks like he needs to be the leader, and so he goes to some random area in Africa and essentially colonizes it and calls it like I forgot exactly what the name is, but it's essentially like the Chip Zanuff Kingdom.
That's crazy.
So it's just, yeah, it's just like goofy shit like that.
Yeah.
What's some other goofy shit? India becomes a floating country.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw
India that. India becomes a floating country, a slave state, and then gets like a coup starts. And that's like the lore of like a character named Potemkin, where he's like a slave and a coup starts, and this guy Gilbert, or I think I can't remember his name, he like saves him.
How was the lore like presented throughout the game?
You kind of got to look for it.
Okay. It's like, that's kind of cool. I don't know.
In Guilty Gear and a lot of fighting games, if you don't really go out of the way to find it, you're not really going to find it. Like a lot of people don't play the story mode.
Yeah.
People mostly just play the game to play the game and like do that. The lore is just, if you want to look for it, if you want to learn about it, you can. It's kind of similar to Dark Souls or stuff like that, where it's like there's like parts of it that's given to you, but like if you really want to know what's going on, you have to go out of your way to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's interesting. I don't know if that's a common thing in Japanese games or not, because Dark Souls is also a Japanese game. But yeah.
Well, Dark Souls also has like the RPG component that allows for that kind of storytelling to take place, because every item has a description, and so they use the description of the items to tell you the lore.
Yeah.
So you can piece together things by understanding like where things come from. But I guess in a fighting game, most of my understanding would be it comes from cutscenes.
Yeah, there's like so like older Guilty Gear games did a bit better job with the cutscenes, like a big critique of Strive is that like its story mode isn't very good. It's kind of like really shitty animated cutscenes with like, I mean, some dialogue and stuff, but it's also because the game was like made, I think the game released a year after COVID, and I think COVID fucked up a lot of shit. Like when the game released, it was kind of fucked up, but which is slowly becoming a trend in video games in general.
Wait, so what's becoming a trend in video games? Like that kind of messed up on the release.
Like a lot of companies will release a game in like a really rough state, and then we'll like either do like a day one patch where they'll fix a lot of shit, or like a month will pass and then they'll fix a lot of shit, or sometimes more time can pass and they'll fix things, and then like 2 years later or like a year later people will be like, oh, the game is really good now, but when it released, like, the game just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Where Strive, the game worked well. Actually, I mean, I wasn't playing it when I played it. I started playing it a year after, because I never, because Strive was the first fighting game I started playing.
What were you playing before?
I wasn't playing any fighting games, but I was just playing like
what other games?
What was I playing before that? I don't know. I was playing a lot of Call of Duty with like my friends, or I was playing like God of War. I think I had like my Xbox for a bit, and so I was playing through like all the Kingdom Hearts games again. Played through Kingdom Hearts 2 on critical mode. That was a lot of fun, which is like the most difficult mode. I don't really remember. It's been such a long time ago. Wow, it's been a long time since then.
It's only Strive.
Yeah, I've really only played Guilty Gear now.
I'm like that with Dark Souls.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to do anything else.
Hell yeah, I've played through Dark Souls 1, Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne, and Sekiro, and I got 80 hours in Elden Ring, got stuck, and I kind of got frustrated, and I just was kind of over this.
Yeah, it's that game suffers in the second half.
It's just too big for me. Like, I like how in like Dark Souls games, it's mostly like you fight boss, you go to the next thing. You do that, you go to the next thing, you go to the next thing. With Elden Ring, it's just so big that I kind of get stressed out. And I'm like, did I miss something? Why do I feel stuck here? Did I miss something? When it's like with like Dark Souls and like Sekiro and like Bloodborne, it's always felt like I could do it. I just need to like, you know, get better at fighting whatever I'm fighting, which I appreciate about those games. But yeah, Elden Ring, it just became frustrating because I would just like die in two hits and like I would do no damage. And I'm just like, I feel like I'm just not properly prepared for where I'm at right now, but I don't know what to do. So that stuff was always really frustrating. So yeah, I also
and
played those
Guilty
games.
Gear that's online you play mostly?
Nowadays? Yeah, mostly online. Play against other people a lot, and I really appreciate that because I mean it's one-on-one, so it's like versus a lot of other online games, because it's one-on-one, you're not depending on other people. So It's a lot of internal reflection to improve at the game, similar to Dark Souls, where it's like, oh, I can complain about this boss all I want, but in the end, it's beatable. People have done it. They wouldn't have made the game if it wasn't beatable. So I just have to improve. And I think like, and then this is for any fighting games, not just Guilty Gear, where there's the internal reflection aspect of it, of just what am I doing wrong? How do I fix it? And then how do I actually apply that? Or where do I have to improve? Whether that's like being able to do optimal combos, whether that's being able to play in neutral better, things like that. Where, yeah, it's just about me improving versus like, it's very, especially in Guilty Gear, it's very, because the power level in Guilty Gear is so strong, essentially saying like the characters are all made to be fucked up in some way. So just like very difficult to fight in some way. And so it's very easy to complain about the characters and like complain like, oh man, whatever this person's doing is stupid and ignorant. And it might be really ignorant, but that's the point of the game. The game is to be extremely ignorant with the captain. And it gives you a bunch of mechanics to be as ignorant as possible. Like there's the Roman cancel mechanic where it allows you to essentially cancel anything that you're doing in that moment and do something else. So like,
but in the Evo scene, how much does that affect like the viability of that game? Because you have games like Street Fighter and like Smash Bros. Where everything's locked in, like you're just waiting to set your chains up. And
yeah, what do you mean the Roman cancel thing? What exactly?
Just a game that's designed to be kind of absurd and play, you know, where the play is outrageous. Like how do you play competitive? Like if you pay attention to the competitive scene, how does that work?
It's still very competitively viable because within fucked up offense, you need really strong defense, except the strong defense to do in Strive is harder to do than the strong offense. It's still very competitively viable. Obviously I think once it gets to like extremely high levels, the characters become much, much more toned down and even, because it more so becomes what are you doing? And then and if I'm at like a extremely high level, you would assume that I already know the answer to how to beat what you're doing. It's just knowing when you're going to do that. And like, I think in Strive, it's like the really fucked up shit where it becomes really ignorant and stuff is like lower levels, because it's easier to just kind of spam moves and being like, you don't know what to do, and I can just keep doing this. Versus in high levels, it's going to be like, you know what to do. Now it's more, I can do this. What will you do in response to that? And then it's kind of like that, it's like that in any fighting games, where it's more like similar to chess, where you're thinking like in layers, where it's like, yeah, I could do, I don't know, like this move that goes across the whole screen, and if I hit you, it becomes a huge counter. But if you block it, then you could easily counter me. So it's now I'm working just with the possibility of doing it, and like, yeah, then you just operate around that. And some characters have different moves where that's easily accessible. It becomes a whole thing. But that's kind of what I really appreciate about like any high level game, where it's like there's like when you first enter the game or anything, where it's like me and Lizzie were talking about Tetris the other day, where it's like there's like, you know, casually playing Tetris, and then there's like really high level professional Tetris where they're literally breaking the game to like be able to play it at such a high level, where they're doing like this rolling technique with their fingers,
hyper tap.
Yeah,
that's a big one,
where like you literally have to like, where you can't even play the game in a way that most people would understand to be able to get to where they are. And I mean, you see that in a lot of fighting games where high level players will literally learn how to break the game and do things that are essentially unfair, which like now we're in an age where developers are able to patch it out and being like, you're not supposed to be able to do that, where they didn't even realize you could do that. But yeah, I kind of appreciate that aspect of fighting games too, where it's, well, that's in any game, I guess, where there's just the aspect of, I'm going to break your game, and you just have to respond to that.
As a developer, yeah.
As a developer, yeah. Because you see it in Dark Souls 2 or in any of those games where, like, a part of fighting the boss kind of just becomes, what does this boss do that I can abuse consistently? Like, every time I move back, this boss, like, jumps at me and doesn't move, I can easily dodge. Then every time he jumps at me, I dodge. I hit him 3 times. Then I run away. He jumps at me. I dodge it. And you just become like, okay, I can abuse this.
And I feel like the music plays a big part in throwing you off. Like the tension of being in an arena with like this, the attention that has to be paid to like, I mean, I guess we set ourselves up for tension all the time with music. That's not exclusive to video games, but it is like a big part of building up. But then with fighting games, there's a totally different feeling where the music is like setting a tone.
Yeah.
As opposed to like leading you somewhere.
Yeah, that is true. Where, yeah, the music is, like you said, it's kind of setting a tone, and it's definitely different where like in like, you know, like a Dark Souls or any sort of more
Persona or something.
Yeah, anything that's more trying to tell a story, where it is more narrative music, where it's like, yeah, you're at the final boss, big climax, it's going to be big climactic music. While in a fighting game, like, I mean, Guilty Gear,
it's level dependent.
Yeah. It's complicated because like if we're talking like arcade mode, which is kind of like the actual game where you're fighting against the computer versus playing against another person, it's kind of different. Where it's like, I think the music in Guilty Gear there are some songs that are trying to tell a story, where there's like, there's some characters' themes that are literally kind of giving you a vibe of what's going on. Like there's Zato's theme where his like character is like, he was like a head of this Assassin's Guild. He does this like ritual or something that he essentially like births this demon. Demon's too strong, kills him. Demon takes over his body, and like when he's in Guilty Gear accent plus R, he's called Eddie because you're playing as the demon, not him. But then in Exert, he comes back and he's Zato, except he has no emotions. And the only emotions that he has is like when he's around this other character called Millia Rage, which essentially, you know, he likes her because they dated before he died.
Of course.
And or they had like a thing before they died.
You wouldn't call it boyfriend.
In the lore, it wasn't called boyfriend girlfriend. You know, they were in a professional. They were both in Assassin's Guild. You know, they had to keep that low key for HR. You know.
Wait. So, what were you saying about the music?
His theme is essentially like the first, like, so it's a normal like metal song, except you'll hear like it's like filtered, where like there's like this ballad in the song and it's filtered and it's playing off beat because it's literally like a normal metal song with literally just like plopped on top as a ballad, all just like low pass filtered, and then the last 5 minutes you actually not the last 5 minutes last minute of like a 6 minute song you actually hear the ballad, and it's like, you know, just like about him being like sad and he can't fucking feel anything. And I mean, in that case, it's like you might not even get to that part of the song if you're actually like fighting against somebody, because the match could just end before you even get to that. So there's like songs like that which become more narrative, but then there's other songs that are just kind of like, just like they're kind of just saying shit,
just about,
yeah, they're just trying to make a banger. It's like, you know, like there's like the main song is called Smell of the Game, which like the fuck does that mean? That's literally like, that's like the main theme of the
is it good?
It's a good song. Yeah, it's okay. A very good song. But it's, yeah, there's a lot of songs where it just has nonsense lyrics, which could also just be translation things. But I mean, we all love it. Like in Chip's theme, when the chorus comes in, it's like, fight like a tiger, walk in the park. What does that mean? Nobody knows.
It's a walk in the park to fight like a tiger.
But it's awesome.
Liz,
you know,
just figured it out.
Yeah. Let me know if you have any other questions.
If you have any other questions about weird lyrics, like, please let Lizzie know.
I feel like a lot of it is just around kind of just like absurdity. At the beginning of every match, there's this quote that essentially said, mankind knew that they cannot change society, so instead of reflecting on themselves, they blame the beasts. It becomes a meme because pretty obviously, if you're blaming the game, yeah, you're not reflecting on yourself, you're blaming the beast. Which, I mean, you could apply that to a lot of things.
That's fucking sick, though, to call yourself a beast if you're the game. That's like,
no,
that's
like, yeah, like they know the game's fucked up.
I have to do more of that in my life. I have to do more of calling myself a beast whenever possible.
No, yeah, and it's funny to like think about that when, like, you know, there's like the classic saying, don't hate the player, hate the game. When it's like, gotta reflect. It's not even hate the game. Hate yourself. Reflect on yourself.
Something to be learned there. Leo pointed at me.
But that's in any fighting game where like self-reflection and self-improving is a big part of it. Well, in any, I guess, competitive thing, because it's just about improving.